for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Today, I'm predicting you might cry if you watched the movie this week. Next week, we're going to watch Rogue One and get some God truth out of that. You remember in the series here, Real to Real, I've been encouraging you all to put your God goggles on. And if you got your God goggles on, and years ago I likened this to, now I'm just going to be real, in college, I know I look like I partied and did crazy things. I never drank, I never smoked, I never did any of that. But I'm told from many of my friends that when they would drink a little too much, they had these things that they called, you know what I'm talking about? Beer goggles. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Where things would look a little better, you know, when you're a little inebriated and they would do dumb things because they had their beer goggles on. I want that concept to be redeemed, amen? There's a concept that I'm introducing here in this series yet again called God goggles. When you got your God goggles on, things which seem ordinary and insignificant can become extraordinary and incredibly significant. So if you have your God goggles on as you watch certain movies, or quite frankly, if you have your God goggles on as you go throughout your day-to-day living, you will see God's hand at work in all kinds of crazy ways. So get your God goggles on, and I'll train you during this series to how do you see God's truth in something that seems ungodly. You're going to find it. But next week, we're going to watch Rogue One. How many of you love when the stormtroopers get shot and get knocked down? We're going to see some of that. So parents, fair warning right now. Spoiler alert. Stormtroopers will die. And that might be a little much for you and your youngsters. So it's just going to happen. You might need to go with plan B next week if you don't want to see stormtroopers get shot. Right? So you've been warned, right? There we go. Today's story. Oh, and by the way, how many of you have a Star Wars t-shirt, hat, or something? Good. Glad you do. Whoever that is. Yeah, that's good. Wear it next week. Next week, we're going to wear Star Wars gear. If you got it, wear it. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you got it, wear it. His name is Saru. As the story unfolds, he's a little itty-bitty boy in India, a little Indian boy. And as the movie begins, you see Saru in a very tight relationship with his older brother, Gudu. Gudu and Saru come from a very impoverished home in India, living with mom and younger sister. And the movie tells us from the very get-go that they got nothing. And so they have to just do all kinds of things just to make ends meet so that they don't starve to death. And as the story unfolds, Gudu, the older brother, has to go off and work in the middle of the night around the train stations. And we don't really know what he does, but he tries to find work so that he can support his family, help mom feed the two younger siblings. Our story hinges upon the night when little Saru sees his brother leaving in the middle of the night and he stands up and says, I'm going with you. And Gudu says, you're too little. And he goes, I'm not. And he picks up a bike and his cute little voice says, look, I can carry a bike. And so Gudu, loving his little brother, says, all right, you can come with me. And so Saru goes with his brother Gudu and they go to the train stations and they're looking for work. And what often happens with little children when they're around those who are older, they think more highly of their ability to stay up than they actually can stay up, right? It's true for my wife, too. She falls asleep, you know, very early. Is that right, Christy? So she can relate to this Saru. Big brother Gudu sees brother sleepy, so he lays him down on a bench. And he goes off to find work. And Saru falls asleep. Watch this. 1 minute clip, 35 seconds. So little Saru's lost. He's alone. He's scared. He's confused. The anxiety kicks in and he's frightened. But how many of you know what he discovered? That fear and anxiety, I'm wondering if you know this, fear and anxiety just take it out of you. Has anybody been there? My man up here has fear and anxiety kicking, but as is the case with most of us, when fear and anxiety kicks in, it just takes it out of you. And so little Saru falls back asleep. Somebody say, uh-oh. While on the train. Now, what do trains do, people? they move. So he falls asleep on the train, and it takes off. One more clip. 1:06. So for little Saru, life goes from bad to worse. And panic sets in. And you just see him thinking, this can't be happening. It's when his panic sets in, he runs up and down, looks around and wonders what's going on. And it's heart-wrenching to watch. And what you see in the rest of the movie is this little boy never finds his home. He doesn't know where he's from. He doesn't know the name of his village. And he becomes a little boy with no identity and no home. So his life, and you'll see it in the movie, and you watch it this week, because I know many of you will, his life is marked with people taking advantage of him, people abusing him, bad situation after another. He ends up in an orphanage that does less than savory things to the children there. Eventually, a wonderful couple from Australia adopts him and brings him back home from India to Australia. And he begins to grow up not knowing who he is or where he's from. Now, here's why we're talking about this movie, which is titled Lion, today. Because his story, quite frankly, is many of our stories. Many of our stories have gone from really good, loving brother and mother and sister to really bad to really worse. And it warrants us to take a time out to admit that in this life we have had troubles. For many of you, you are like little Saru, living the nightmare that does not seem to ever end. And I bet if you watch this movie, your heart would be pulled to him and you think, man, I feel his pain. He's tired. He's lost. He's alone. He's scared. And I know that I'm looking at people in this room who are tired, who are lost, who are alone, and some are even scared. Now, how do I know that? I know that because statistics tell us this. Did you know that here in America, 72% of Americans, 72 people out of 100, feel alone? 40 million Americans suffer from some form of anxiety or depression. That's 18% of our population. So 18 out of 100 people in this room most likely have some form of anxiety or depression. So I'm just outside of this. I'm 46, but men 40 to 45, there's something that's unique to us. Anybody know what it is? When I say us, can I be in there even though I'm 1 year older? Do I got permission? Sure. Thank you. One person gave me permission. Love it. Any guesses what that unique thing is for men from 40 to 45? Take a guess, somebody. Nope. Nope. Any other guesses? Highest suicide rate out of any other demographic in America. Men like me, maybe a year younger, lead the nation in suicide rate. Men who seemingly have it all together, men who found their purpose, who are firmly ensconced in their career, people who seem to have got it together, they can pay their bills, they can support their family. Men like me lead the nation in suicide rates. And so I believe that in this room, there are people like Saru who are lost, alone, tired, and scared. What I'm not sure of is if people in this room who are lost, alone, tired, and scared will admit that they're lost, alone, tired, and scared. You see, we live in a culture where we're told to put, you know, a bold face on it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? Suffer through, plow through, be tough. You know, anybody know what the sport is in America that makes the most money? Football. Yeah, how many of you had your coach, when you know your arm's broken and dangling, he looked at you and said, rub some dirt on it, kid, right? How many of you grew up like in my era or before where water was for sissies? Do you remember that? That happened until young men started dying on the football field of dehydration, right? And then other stupid men be like, oh, maybe that's a bad idea. But there's something ingrained in us that we've got to pretend like life is good when life really stinks. And so I want you to hear from Saru's story that Jesus was actually speaking truth when he said to his disciples right before he died, he said, in this life, you'll have troubles. So I know I'm speaking to people in this room who are lost, tired, lonely, scared. I know it. I bet everything I own that in this room there are several people who are lost, tired, lonely, scared. But I'm wondering if you know if you fit the description. It's what G.I. Joe said. I've said this before. How many people know what G.I. Joe said? Right? G.I. Joe's very wise. I remember growing up with my brother, and you know, after school, the first thing we'd do is we'd go and raid the fridge and then go sit down in front of TV and we'd turn on old G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe would always do something miraculous, but at the end of every G.I. Joe cartoon, at the end of the cartoon, there was this little life lesson, like little Timmy's about ready to run because his ball went into the street, so you got to go get your ball, right? So he'd run, and G.I. Joe would miraculously appear, stop little Timmy from getting hit by the truck that was coming. And little Timmy would say, gee, thanks, G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe would say, you're welcome, Timmy. You need to always look both ways before you cross the street. And little Timmy would say this. He would say, thanks, G.I. Joe. Now I know. Here it is. And G.I. Joe would say, here it is. And knowing is half the battle. So I'm wondering if there's anybody who knows that they're in a bad place. I wonder if there's people in here who are in a bad place, but today's the day you admit I'm in a bad place. You know, if you're sick and dying, there's this thing called a doctor, but that doctor, he can't help you unless you go see him, right? I wonder if you know you're in a bad place. There ain't no shame in admitting you're in a bad place, and that's why one of the things we've built this church around is the mantra, if you got a pulse. There are so many people in here and out in the world, in your world. So some of you are thinking, well, I'm not lost. I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, way to go. Way to be there. And if you're feeling like you're in a good place, you're not lost, you're not tired, you're not lonely, you're not scared, thank the Lord and realize that there's people in your life who are that and they need you. They need you. Because not only if you got a pulse, you got issues. If you got a pulse, you got... And part of your purpose, I don't care who you are, part of your purpose is bringing the freedom of Jesus Christ to other people. So do you know that you're a little Saru, lost, alone, tired, scared? Do you know? His story is your story. We're going to jump ahead in the story. We just got one more clip, a short one here. We're going to jump ahead. And he's an adult now in this clip that we're going to see. He's an adult. He's, you know, doing well. He's gone to school. He's got a career. He's got some friends. And he's found that, you know, he's able to get by. In the back of his head, he's got this haunting thing that kind of nags him about his early days, but he, like many of you, have been able to kind of stuff it down, and when you stuff it down, you're able to get by. Just like many of you are able to get by because you've had some really bad things happen to you, and you're getting by. But I want to remind you of last week's verse. The second part of the verse, the verse was John 10:10. The second half of that verse, it's Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. And did he say, I've come that you might have life that you just kind of get through? Did he say, I've come that you might have life and just kind of stuff down the pain and trudge through life and wait till you die and get to heaven? Is that what he said? He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And so Saru, now a grown man, realizes that his life isn't an abundant life. He's not thriving. He's just surviving. And I'm telling you, God made you to thrive, not just to survive. And I'm going to tell you that listen to this. Elbow your neighbor. Say, pay attention to this one. Your undealt with crap has been haunting you for long enough. Because God doesn't want you just to survive through this life to get into heaven. He wants you to thrive in this life so that you can bring many people with you to heaven. And so our buddy Saru now is an adult. He's hanging out with some friends. He's at the table. He gets thirsty and he's going to the fridge to get a drink. And he sees this Indian food delicacy item on the counter and it jogs a memory. Check this out. Not from Calcutta. Now, throughout the whole movie, he's been telling people he's from Calcutta because that's what the orphanage told his Australian adopted parents. But he realizes in that moment when the memory is jogged that, you know what, I'm not from where I think I was. And he realizes he's a man without identity, without a home, and he has no idea who he is. He has no idea who he is. And I'm telling you, that reality, not knowing who we are, has led to so many dumb choices in our lives. Has led to so much hurt and pain in our life. So I'm just gonna go straight up Bible on you now. Right. All of that leading to this. I'm gonna tell you who you are, so that you, unlike Saru, can understand exactly who you are, so that you will not have that midlife crisis thinking, "Who am I?" I'm gonna tell you who you are. I'm going to tell you who you are by just reading some scriptures for you. So elbow your neighbor and say, he's got some word for you now. Pay attention. Let me tell you who you are. This is from the Message, 1 John 3, verse 1. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. Who are you?
Yeah, child of God. I'm glad that brings joy.
Yeah, child of God. Back to the Message. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously sometimes, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. We are children of God. Who are you? Yeah. Also from the Message, the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. How blessed is God. And what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and he takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. Somebody say, wow. In fact, somebody do this. Back to the text. I'm going to repeat it again. Long before he laid the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. And he had settled on us to focus all of his love. Do you know who you are? I'm just going to read that one again because I'm not sure you do know who you are. This is talking about God. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. And he had settled on us. Somebody say me. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family. He decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Somebody say, wow. Do you guys know who you are? Do you know who you are? And this from the NIV, Psalm 68. Never mind. This from the book of John 14. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now this from the NIV in Psalm 68. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. This is God in his holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoner with singing. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. He sets the lonely in families. And then back to the message, the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. The resurrection, this resurrection life you receive from God, it's not a timid, grave-tending life. It's not a just surviving life. It's adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. Confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are. Father and children, do you know who you are? You're a child of God. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, if we go through the hard times, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him as well. Do you know who you are? You see, unlike Saru's story, our theology, Christian theology, says we don't have to go looking for our identity. We don't have to go look for that place called home. Our theology tells us that our faith alone, no other faith on planet Earth, no other belief system ever, ever has God coming to humanity before humanity even thought of God. You see, other religions see the poor boy on the train and say, "Boy, that boy, he better find his way back." But Christian theology is of a God who has turned towards the boy and is running towards him and saying, "Hey, here I am. Do you see me?" Every other religion leaves the boy to find his own way home. Watch the movie. You'll see what happens. But our faith is where God is pursuing us. With your happiest face, would you turn to your neighbor and say, "God is pursuing you. He's pursuing you. He came to you. We don't have to search." And when we know who we are in Him, I said this last week, hurtful things don't have to hurt. When we know who we are in Him, we can ride out the storms with a little bit more peace. And when we know who we are in Him, even in the midst of junk, we can find some joy. And when we know who we are in Him, we can see that there's hope for a better day tomorrow, even though today might stink. Do you know who you are? See, there's a rootedness in knowing who you are that's bigger than you. We're all longing to get home and to find our identity. From the poorest of the poor to the wealthiest of the wealthy. We're all longing for identity and place. Well, Jesus is saying, "You're my kids. You're my kids." And that's why at the river, our foundational values, our foundational vision, what we want this place to be is that anybody can belong. Anybody. Say anybody. Anybody can belong here. We don't care what you believe. We don't care about your language. We don't care about the way you dress. We don't care any of that. You just have a place to belong because Jesus wants you to belong with Him so that in time you can believe in Him. Belong. So that you can believe. But you know what? It's not about just believing in Jesus. We want anybody to belong here. Anybody. So that they can believe in Jesus, so that they can become all God intended them to be. Because God has a plan for you. Every single one of you, God has a plan for you. Every single one of you. Every single one of you, God has a plan of significance and impact and purpose. And it begins with your belonging and your believing, and He's going to help you become all that He intends you to be. And it begins with you understanding that you're a child of God, adopted into His family. Called His own, given an inheritance. The good things Jesus gets, you get too. You don't have to spend your life looking and wondering, "Where am I? Who am I?" I'm telling you, you are God. So here's the deal. If you are lost and lonely and tired and scared, maybe today's the day you begin a faith journey saying, "You know what, Jesus, I'd like to be your child." Maybe if you're in that broken state, lost on the train, maybe today's the day you say, "You know what, I'm going to join the faith journey. I'm going to become a seed in the faith. Someday I'll grow into a root, maybe a tree." Maybe today's the day you say yes to Jesus. And if that is you, you know, in the old days, they used to have the altar calls. Do you remember these things? If you want to accept Jesus, and I remember reading stories, you know, every head down, you know, and they'd bow and they'd say, "Anybody want to accept Jesus? Raise your hand." And nobody was raising the hand, but the pastor would lie because it would sound better if somebody did. I see that hand when there was no hand raised. We're not going to do that. This is between you and God and the folks you came with. Tell somebody, if you want to enter into the faith journey today, if you want to claim your childhood status of the King of Kings, if you're tired of living lost and identityless with homelessness and you want to find a home, a purpose, and an identity, today's the day you can say yes to Jesus. Just tell somebody. But many of you, as I've already said, you know who you are. You can say, I am a child of the King. I don't resonate with little Saru. It makes me sad when he says, Gudu. But I can't relate to that. Well, you might have a bigger job than today. Because your job is to be the home that somebody needs. Your job is to give of yourself so that somebody can find themselves in Christ. Maybe today's the day you say, you know, my faith is no longer going to be sit on my butt on a Sunday morning faith. I'm going to get up and do something with it so that I can help somebody who's lost find their way home. Amen. Maybe today's the day that you employ somebody, doggone it. Now, I said doggone it once in a church up north. Oh, my goodness, this older lady came up and jabbed me in the chest and told me I said GD in the service, but she didn't say GD. You said bleep, bleep, bleep in the service. I'm like, I did not. She said, you said doggone it, and it's the same thing. And I'm like, it's not the same thing. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. You guys are okay with doggone it, right? Yes. Here's what I said. Maybe if you got a job and in a place of employment, you can employ somebody, doggone it. Maybe you need to see that the things that you've been given, the position you've been given, is to help somebody who's less fortunate than you. Maybe today's the day that you begin to befriend somebody who needs a friend. All of you have this precious gift, every single one of you, and it's a gift of relationship. And somebody is dying for you to be their friend. Even the most grumpy, curmudgeonly person in the room, I'm talking to you, somebody is dying to be your friend. So maybe today's the day you employ somebody. Maybe today's the day you befriend somebody. Maybe today's the day you just eat some food with somebody. It's nothing like food to enhance a relationship. So if you're lost, tired, lonely, scared, I'm telling you, there's a King of Kings who loves you, and he calls you his own. He says, you've been adopted into my family, and I've got goodness for you. But if you've been found, and you're not scared, and you're in a good place, I'm telling you, today's the day that you become the one who brings goodness to others. Put on your God goggles. And don't just wear them when you watch movies and shows. I'm sure do that because you'll see God's truth therein. Put your God goggles on as you walk through life, and you'll see somebody who's like little Saru, lost and alone, and needs you.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.